series on firm foundations. Last week, we looked at how we need to be building our Christian faith well. We looked at love that God has for us, that we ought to have for Him, intimacy in our relationship with Him, and worship, just the values that we have in that. This morning, we're going to continue. I was thinking about a few years ago, often before bed, Nicole and myself would pray with our kids, or we'd go and just sit with them before bed, and my oldest daughter, Gemma, she was a little bit younger than she is now. And I said to her, Gemma, why don't you pray tonight? And she hesitated. And she said, I don't know if I want to pray because I don't know if God hears me. And He never talks back. And in that moment, I was like, that's true. That's real. There's an authentic experience that she's revealing as this young child of, I know you're asking me to pray, but how do I know He's even listening? And he never talks back. It's a bit of like an offense that she carried. Like, I'm not going to talk to Him, because He's not going to talk to me. And I don't know if you ever do experience that, or you feel like that. Sometimes a prayer can sometimes feel like you emailing certain departments we have in this country, and I won't name them in case I offend you. But you send the email in hope and faith, but you never know if it's going to be read. And there's like hardly any hope or faith that it'll be replied to. And if it does, it's a pure miracle. Some of us, that's how sometimes prayer can feel. Like, Lord, if you do hear, thank you. And if you do reply, man, I was one of the lucky 7 billion in the world that God gave time to. That's not the case of what it needs to be. The picture I had last week that I want to build upon is picture you being a tree. And we're so caught up in our lives about what is the fruit that we are producing in our lives. What are the good things we're doing? And especially as Christians, that is what we're weighing up constantly. Are we being the people God's called us to be? Are we living well? We audit ourselves constantly. We're looking in the mirror. At the start of every year, we're looking at the tree and saying, what fruit did I bear last year? And what fruit will I bear this year? And that's constantly the pressure we're under. What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? But the truth of any tree is, unless the roots are healthy and strong, you're producing no fruit. And if there's any fruit, it might by some chance be rotten, and you don't want to give that fruit to anybody. So what we're doing over the next few weeks is looking at the roots of our lives. What are we to build on well? And so, as I said, this morning, we're going to look at how we need to learn to speak to God and how we need to learn to hear from God. Two things that are so absolutely vital in our faith. In fact, for me, this is such an incredible privilege that we have. Have you thought about that? Think about that. We're talking about speaking to God. God, who is God, who is creator of all things. God, who has all authority. All authority belongs to Him. God is all glory, all power. God says He holds everything in accordance to His will. That's God. And that God says, will you speak to me? Will you come and pray to me? And when we think about that and we just realize what's the depth of prayer and who we get to pray to and who this person is, that should humble us and amaze us and bring us to a place of prayer. And then to think that that same God who is worshipped by the heavenlies, angels are in awe of Him and bow down before Him, that God says, I'm going to make time and speak back to you. So, I mean, think about a celebrity. I don't know if you've ever walked past a celebrity. I've walked past a few every now and then. I've been trying to make a big thing of it, not to look weird and awkward. But, I mean, if you go past a celebrity, their response hardly is that they would even give you a nod or a wave. One, because celebrities deal with people all the time, right? They've constantly got people in their space, and their time is probably best allocated to people that they would deem of importance. Why would they even acknowledge you? I'm sorry if that offends you. I apologize on their behalf. But think about a celebrity thinking, of all the people I get rubbed shoulders with, why would I stop in the middle of the road and, hey, how are you? They would try and just avoid you as best as they can. Why would they try and speak to you? Why would they ask you to speak to them in return? And that's how sometimes we can assume people of higher authority are in our lives. Perhaps even at your work, the CEO walks past and you're like, he doesn't even know my name. She doesn't even know who I am. Will they even stop and know me? But we can apply the same to God, but that is not who God is. Jesus is worshipped in heaven. As I said, it describes his worship by a number of people that we cannot even fathom. The angels are in awe of him. They sing to him. They worship him. Kings bow down before him. Wise men are drawn. Wise women are drawn towards the King of Kings, towards Jesus. Powerful people see his glory, and then theirs is insignificant before him. But the point is that this very same God, this same Jesus, asks that you and I would speak to him. He will give you his time. He will give you his attendance. He welcomes you in. Share your lives with him. Share your thoughts with him. Share your requests with him. And then the beauty is that he says, I desire to speak back. You can, you will hear my voice. Isn't that just incredible? And that's the foundation we want to build upon this morning, something we want to get right. So you and me, sometimes we might really take prayer for granted. We might doubt the value and the beauty of it for a number of reasons. Like I said, maybe you wonder, and maybe think about your prayer life right now. What's your prayer life like? What are the things you maybe struggle with when it comes to prayer? Some of them are, well, will God hear me? When I speak, does God even hear? Or is he like that celebrity who just walks on by? Will God answer my prayer? Are the things I'm asking him of importance? I mean, there's potential World War III on the horizon. There's chaos happening all over the world. Why will God want to answer me about my fridge giving a strange noise early in the morning? Like, is that high up on his agenda? Well, he says, yeah, he cares about the little things and the big things. Perhaps you struggle in prayer because you don't know what to say. What do I say? How do I even speak to him? I mean, he's a king after all. What would you say? Perhaps you don't even know how to posture yourself. Do I kneel? Do I put my hands together? We often teach our kids that just so that they stop fidgeting. But then even as an adult, you still put your hands together. Must you close your eyes? Don't you close your eyes? Do you have to face any certain direction? Do you have to look up because God's always up? You might say, I don't even know how to stand, let alone what to say. Prayer's hard. I don't know if he's going to speak back. I don't know how to hear his voice. What does it even sound like? I can't tell the difference between his voice, my voice, other voices. These are all real things that perhaps you've gone through when it comes to prayer and makes prayer seem a little bit difficult. And if it is, you maybe don't value it the way that we need to. My hope this morning is that we'd actually simplify this. What we need to start off with as we build in this foundation, as we're tending to this root in our life, is we must believe that God speaks to us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants to speak to you individually? Not even speak to the elders to speak to you. Some of you might think, well, God won't speak to me directly, but if I ask the elders for input, they will inquire of God because, hey, they're so holy and so perfect that God is like a special channel. Their megabyte download speed is way quicker than mine. Mine comes and goes, but if I go to them, they'll get the answer quickly and they'll tell me. Often the elders will say, well, you go ask God. You go ask what the Father wants to tell you. But we've got to start off with, God wants to speak to me. God still speaks today. Right now this morning, and perhaps God's already speaking to some of you this morning. God hears and God responds. We have to believe that. You know why? Because God is relational. God's relational. We looked at that last week. God loves you so much that he cares about you. He knows the days that he's numbered, and it even says in that psalm, Psalm 139, he says, and his thoughts about you outnumber the grains of sand on the beach. If you ever doubt how much God thinks about you or wants to speak to you, just go visit the beach. I know you want that permission. Go visit the beach, right? Just take leave, right? Don't say your pastor said you can freely go visit the beach and now your job's in trouble. But the next time you're even close to the sand, just look and say, Lord, this is the glimpse of the thoughts you have over me. God is relational. And God wants to hear. God wants to respond. He delights in us. God loves that we would desire him. There's this beautiful phrase in church history that says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. If you want to glorify God the best you can, find a joy and satisfaction in knowing God. There's this relationship God wants us to have with Him. Here's the challenge, is that very often we are wanting to hear the voice of God outside of intimacy with Him. So again, last week, we looked at the first root, the first foundation we've got to build is a building of love, intimacy, and worship of God. If you are not close to God, it's hard to hear His voice. If you're only going to God whenever you want something, that doesn't feel like a very good relationship. That's a bit like a parasite, right? You'll know these people who only WhatsApp you. Have you ever had that? You'll get a WhatsApp in the morning from someone you haven't heard for months, and they're like, hey, how are you doing? Like, I'm fine. And then they'll wait for at least 3 hours. I was wondering if you could help me with. But they know they can't ask with the, can you help me with, if they don't say hello, how are you doing first. But sometimes with God, if we're not pursuing intimacy, prayer can be tough. So, we're going to build on this foundation this morning. My hope is that we do not overcomplicate prayer, and I think we can. I know I can. Like I said, we're trying to work out, what do we say, how do we say it, what are the words, what are the things we can and cannot ask, where do we look, all those things. So what we're going to do this morning is, to build this foundation well, we're going to look at the perfect prayer, and that's Jesus. Jesus lived a life of prayer. The disciples saw it, they watched Him as He prayed, as He spoke to the Father, and they said to Him a question that we're going to ask this morning, and they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Show us how to do this prayer. And so Jesus is going to teach the following. If He's going to teach this church, this is the best way we're going to build this root and foundation. All right. So if you can turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at a few verses from there. And my hope this morning is that we would simplify the depth and the beauty and the wonder of prayer. When I say simplify, not to downplay it, but not to overcomplicate it, that we just can't do it. All right. So Matthew chapter 6. From verse 5. The disciples are asking Jesus, teach us how to pray. They've watched the Pharisees pray, and Jesus will allude to it now. They've perhaps watched how the high priest prays. They've watched how the religious pray. Have you ever watched people pray and try and say, I can't pray like that. I can't pray like that person. They're just rattling off stuff. Like, how do they even know all that stuff? You know? Let's have a look what Jesus says, and I hope this morning we find some freedom. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus says, and when you pray, so not if you pray, when you pray, this will happen, you must do it, please do it. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. First bit of encouragement from Jesus. Prayer is not to be showboating. Do not use prayer to try and show yourself off, to try and look impressive in front of the crowd. If we pray together, don't try and prove to this congregation how good a prayer you are by standing up in the midst and praying these long, lengthy prayers. Do not make a pretense of it. Don't make prayer a show. All right? Don't try and make yourself look like an amazing prayer for others to see. Jesus says, if you're doing that, you've already received your reward. Your reward is that people might look at you and say, ah, this person prays quite well. There's your reward right there. But you're forfeiting the spiritual blessing that God longs to give above that prayer. So the warning to start off with is that prayer is not meant to be glorifying you, showboating you, or putting a spotlight on you and how good you are at it. Verse 6, Jesus says then, but when you pray, again when, not if, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus is using a bit of picture language here, because the reality was that in His time, and even for Jesus, they didn't have a private room. He didn't have like His own bedroom. It was like Jesus' room, if doors close, I'm praying. He didn't have that. But what Jesus often was doing was He would escape up the hill and go towards the top of a hill and go and pray. Or Jesus would wait for the others to sleep. And while all the disciples were sleeping, Jesus would go alone to pray. What he's not saying is that corporate prayer is not important. So don't read that to say we should never pray together. But he's saying there must be these intimate relational moments where your prayer is done in secret. You're not worried about what people think. You're not worried about, are you looking right? You're simply before your Father, vulnerable, real, and honest and true as a child, and you're spending time with him. Jesus says that go and find those quiet moments, those secret moments. I think the Father loves that because it shows that you value that time. I do this a lot, and I'm going to grow in this route, so please forgive me. A lot of my prayer happens on the move. I don't know if you're like that. While you're driving, Lord, I'll pray while I'm driving, doing two things at once. I'll pray while I'm doing the dishes. I'll pray while I'm watering the garden. I'll pray while I'm running. But sometimes I've got to be cautious that God would say to me, well, which is more important in this moment? Are you adding me on to the important thing? Or is the prayer the important thing and you're doing something else with it? And I think sometimes Jesus would just say, how's about we just stop for a moment and enjoy each other's company? Or often saying, you could do this if you like. Make two cups of coffee and sit down at a table with no one else there and give one to Jesus and you have one cup. You could drink both. I'm sure he won't mind, right? If the cup happens to be empty by the end of prayer, that's pretty cool. Keep doing that, right? But the emphasis of the heart of it is, Jesus says, actually, those secret moments are good. Those quiet moments are good. And if you have a room to close the door, close the door. But just look for that quiet place, even at your work. Just go have a quiet moment, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 5 minutes. Jesus says, why don't you even do that? Verse 7, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them. I really love this verse, because it's telling us that prayer can be simple. It's talking to God. It's speaking to God. And prayer is not better the longer it is. That frees us, right? Because sometimes we're like, okay, I've got to do a 5-minute prayer without breathing. Go. And because you reached your personal best of 5 minutes, you're like, Lord, that was the best prayer I've ever prayed. And God's like, I stopped listening after 30 seconds. Because you just repeated yourself. And all that was coming out of your mouth was hot air. And you thought it was impressive because of the many words. And the many words. And Jesus, like, can I just say something? Have your 5 minutes. It's beautiful because it's simplifying what we ought to be doing in prayer and what we mustn't presume to be what's better in prayer. God is not impressed by the length of it or by the fancier words. He's not asking for you to be repetitive over and over again as if he's forgetful. He's heard you. He knows. In fact, it says he already knows what you need before you ask. You don't have to try and fight to make your prayer sound beautiful. God knows your heart. God knows that probably the most important part of prayer is the pursuit of relationship with him. The power of prayer is that you've come to a place saying, I can't do something, God, but I know you can. And because you already know God, I'm going to humble myself and bring it before you. That's the power and the beauty of prayer. Saying, God, I'm coming to you for help. Because I know you've got it, and I know you already know. But I, because of relationship, I'm going to come and bring this before you, and we're going to spend some time together in it. God doesn't need prayer. We need prayer. He doesn't need our prayer. We need it. And Jesus says, be free. Come and speak to me. Don't make it a performance. Don't try and make it beautiful. Don't try and fight for the right language. It doesn't have to be in King James. But be real. Be real before him. So, put that aside. Jesus continues. He says, so, not to look at them and to pray like it, this is how now you ought to pray. And we look at, again, Matthew 6 from verse 9, and what is popularly titled the Lord's Prayer. Look at how Jesus teaches us to pray. He says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so if Jesus said, this is how we ought to pray, let's listen to this and let's try and apply this. So let's unpack this a little bit here. Firstly, this is God's pattern in prayer. That's not intended to be recited, although if you do recite the Lord's Prayer like that, that's fine. But it wasn't written that that would be what you recite every day, because that becomes a bit repetitive, doesn't it? And it can lose the heart of it. But that actually is a sample of what we can pray into when we do pray. Jesus says, let me tell you some things you ought to pray into. So the first start of prayer is such a beautiful start. I think Jesus profound the disciples when he said, why don't you begin like this? Our Father in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Not my Father, our Father. He's ours. There's the relational side of it. Not our Lord, mighty God. Forgive me if I offend you, but some of us, when we start praying, we're like, Lord, Heavenly Father, God, Jesus, by the Spirit I pray. Like, who are you talking to? The whole Trinity in one? Is that his title? Lord, Heavenly Father, God, Jesus of Mary, Joseph, and the Archangel Gabriel announcing you, Lord, Father. I get your heart. Don't overcomplicate prayer. Simplify it. Father, I need to speak to you. My kids, and I'm not trying to knock my kids out, they're growing as I am. They start their prayer always with, dear Lord Jesus. I'm like, do you ever say to me, dear Dad, when you talk to me? So I'm just trying to teach him, drop the dear. Just to make it a bit more relationship. Dear Lord Jesus, just speak to the Father. Our Father in heaven. Jesus says that he is our Father. I love it because it's not about flippancy. This is not about over-familiarity, but there's this proper reverence and worship. But when we pray to God as Father, we are aware of his authority. We're aware also of his warmth and his intimacy and his love for you. That's the one that you're praying to, the one who cares. A Father who invites you into his presence, who cares about everything about you, who says, I know the number of hairs upon your head. I know what is anxious for you. I know what troubles you. Come and speak to me, for I am your Father. He's also King. He's also Lord, but also Father. And he says, come and speak to me as Father. Because he is our Father, he says, you do not need to grovel on the floor before him in asking for a request. Sometimes, friends, we can believe that our pursuit and relationship with God demands us to beg. Lord, I am not worthy of, but please, if you've got time and if you're willing, can I ask of you and ask of you and ask of you? But I'm sure you won't, because this is not important. And I'm not that big compared to others in the church. And I've only been saved for this amount of time. And my Bible reading plan is not up to date. So I'm probably not deserving for you to answer my prayer. But if you maybe could, friends, you're not treating God as a father anymore. You're treating him as a boss who's performance driven. And you're groveling. And God says, don't grovel. You're a son. You're a daughter. Come into my presence and stand. Come and be with me. Come sit before me and speak to the one who loves you more than any other. Despite your shame or despite your guilt. And friends, the warning is that you would slander and challenge the Father heart of God if you create reasons why God will not welcome you in his Father. Just be aware of that. Where you're being self-righteous and saying, God, you wouldn't answer my prayer, you've changed God's character to make him one who's no longer a father heart. You've made him a God of condition. And until you meet those conditions, God won't hear me, you've just changed the gospel. And you've just changed who God is. And actually, you'll offend God by removing his slow to anger, his patience, and his love that is unconditional. What I'm saying to you is, go before him. And don't let anything hold you back. Okay, to pray in heaven reminds us that God is sovereign, God rules over all things. The one we pray into holds all things together. He is in control of all things. It then says, hallowed be your name. We worship God. As we've done this morning, he's treated with the highest honor, he's set apart as holy, and he's worthy. The beauty of it is that before we make any requests, before we ask God of anything, we remember who he is. Remember who he is. Friends, can I encourage you to do that? Let us never allow Jesus just to be a name, but remember who he is. That word from Greg this morning, who he is, the person of Jesus. And remember, that's the one that we get to pray to. He's Lord, he's Savior, he's King. Be humbled before him. Be in awe of him. Let's start by worship. Let's start by us humbling ourselves before him. And then this beautiful line in the prayer says, Lord, may your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So very often when we do pray, I include myself in here, we jump very quickly to our request. Lord, I've got stuff to ask of you. There's things I need to get done. There's things I've got to ask. Like, today's a tough one. And I like what Michael Easton actually says about this when talking about the Lord's Prayer. Look at the quote. It'll pop up on the screen. But look what he says here about the Lord's Prayer. He says, the Lord's Prayer invites us temporarily to forget all these things and concentrate first on God. Forget all the things going on in your life, all the stuff going on in your world. Just forget them for a moment and focus on God first. God wants us to want his will before we want our will. He wants us to attend to the affairs of his kingdom before we attend to the affairs of our little kingdom. I love that. But there's beauty in that, and it's real. Lord, I've got a lot going on. And God's like, I know. But that's a small kingdom. Let's pray into the big kingdom. And as Jesus teaches, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these other things, all our requests or the other things will be added. They'll come. But seek first the kingdom of God. Big kingdom first. And so Jesus teaches us that pray along this line, praying for revival, pray for God's kingdom to be established. The aim of all our prayer is God, your will, not our will. Even friends, when our will seems so right, have you ever had it? Like you're sure and you're sure and you're sure that your way is good. I'm sorry to downplay it, but your will can never be better than God's. Because if it was, then you become God. If you ever had an idea and God said, oh, wow, I never thought of that. That's better than my plan. Let's do it your way. My friend, you've just elevated above God and you're equal to him. But God will often say, my way is better. I've got a way. And you see throughout scripture, God says, follow my way. Trust my way. Sometimes God will even ask us a way. It seems so ludicrous, but it shows the faith that we have in him, the trust in him. And we see it again throughout scripture. Our prayer is, Lord, may your kingdom come. May your will be done. May we submit to it. May we be in obedience to it. May we play a part in seeing the kingdom of God advance more and more in the world everywhere we go. That's our prayer. Our daily prayer. Friends, wherever you go on a day-to-day basis, you are an ambassador of the kingdom of God and you're taking the kingdom of God wherever you go. And the prayer that you're praying is, Lord, wherever I go, may people see your kingdom advance more and more and more. May the light of Christ, may the power of Christ, may the love of the gospel, may the message of the gospel go wherever I go. And you're asking it in prayer. May your kingdom come today. May your will be done today. Above mine, above my agenda, above my plan. Friends, there will be a day when God's kingdom has come fully, completely, and we'll be fully immersed in it. And that will be just the joy of every element of our lives. Right now, there are demands pulling you in every direction from other kingdoms. The world is pulling you to things that are important. They're going to pull you away from this community. They're going to pull you away from church. They're going to pull you away from prayer. They're going to pull you away from the Bible. Friends, it might even be your kids. I love my kids. But I know many parents will say, I can't do kingdom stuff because my kids demand more time from me. The Psalms say children are a blessing from the Lord, not a curse. Don't allow anything rob you from the kingdom of God. Bring your children in and say, children, we're going to church. It might be crazy, but we're here. Your work might be demanding of time and energy, but don't let it rob you of the kingdom of God. Okay. So that's the first half of that prayer. The second part is where we come to God with our requests. And isn't that beautiful as well? Jesus doesn't stop and say, well, let's only pray kingdom stuff. He says, now let's talk about you, which is still kingdom stuff, which you're a citizen of the kingdom. So God says, great, I care about you. Now what is on your heart? He already knows, but what is weighing on your heart? What are you trusting the Father for? He says, bring it. So Lord, give us our daily bread. Give us the basics that we need to live. Help us live, Lord, daily. Keep us healthy. Keep us strong. May we have finance come in. God cares about every element of your life, your home, your resource, your time, your rest, every little element, the clothes on your back. He says, look at the fields, I clothe them. Don't be anxious and troubled, I care about you more. Look at the birds, how they eat. Don't be anxious, I'll make sure that you've got food. Jesus speaks along this all the time. But he says, still come and ask, come and bring it to me. And he doesn't listen to us, I think, with, oh, here we go again. You want that again. He's a father who loves and is fathering us and helping us in every single thing that we need. He then says, forgive us our debts. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, as we forgive those who sin against us. That, guys, is not praying for salvation. He's not saying pray for salvation every single day. So the very first thing you wake up, Lord, all the sins I'm about to do, forgive me today so I stay saved. That's not what he's doing. Once you're saved, you're saved. That's the power and the authority of the cross. But there are things we get wrong, right? There's things we say that we wish we didn't. There's emotional responses we wish we didn't have. And again, the invitation, we see it in 1 John. It says, confess your sins to me and I'm faithful to forgive. It's the invitation of a father who loves you to say, I will forgive you. Don't let any sin hold you back or rob you. Don't let any condemnation stop you from doing the things God has called you to do. Don't allow shame or guilt. Don't allow an enemy who's pointing his finger, reminding you of your wrong, hold you back from all that God's called you to. Instead, pray this prayer. Forgive me, Lord, for my sins. And the Father says, I forgive you. Let's work on it now. The next day, I forgive you. Let's work on it. And there's a journey that we're on. But he adds to that, but will you also forgive other people the way I'm going to forgive you? Can I tell you, if you're holding on to unforgiveness this morning, friends, it'll rob you. It'll steal from you. The saying we often hear is, it's like you drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. That's what unforgiveness is. And it's just, God would say, I've forgiven you so much, why can't you forgive another person? Guys, I know forgiveness is hard. And often, very often, it demands the grace of God over us to do something that in our flesh we struggle with. You don't know what they did, Greg. You don't know what they said. They tweeted about it. They put me on Instagram. It's all over the social media. I know. But Jesus hung on a cross in front of all to forgive you. Maybe by God's grace you can forgive them and be free. You be free. We pray, Lord, help us to forgive others as well. And then the warning, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Friends, we are not immune from temptation. The Bible tells us that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's a roaring lion who prowls around. God says to Cain, who kills his brother Abel in Genesis, he says, Cain, Satan is crouching outside your door. Do not let him in. And the next day, Cain lets him in and kills his brother. There's that picture, friends, of the enemy's coming after you. Why is he coming after you? Because you're a son and daughter of God. But here's the prayer. Lord, lead us not into temptation. May we not give in. It's not sinful to be tempted. It's sinful to fall into temptation. Another saying, you can't stop the birds flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest on your head, right? Okay? Some heads are better than others. But the prayer is, Lord, keep me safe today. Keep me safe because social media is going to tempt me. A colleague is going to tempt me. Friends are going to tempt me. That TV show is going to tempt me. This extra money is going to tempt me. Lord, I pray today, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from what the evil one intends. And even Jesus says to Peter before he fell into temptation and he doubted, he said, I will restore you when you fall. He knew that Peter was going to fall. He says, but Peter, when you do fall, don't worry, I've still got you. And I'll restore you. Can you see the relationship in it? Friends, this is how we are praying day to day. Lord, help me in this. And then it says, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It's a beautiful way to end. Lord, in all that we've just spoken about, I just remind myself, because you already know, yours is the kingdom, Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. This is all for you, because of you and by you. Thank you, Lord. We see in Scripture, prayer was a devotion. In Acts 2, it says the church devoted themselves to prayer. Again, not long, lengthy stints of prayer. And we might do that every now and then. We might do a day of 24 hours of prayer because you're praying into an area, but that's not constantly what prayer needs to be. But what we do need to do is see the value and the beauty of a prayer life. We devote ourselves to prayer. And friends, even later on, it says in Paul's letters to the churches, even when we don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit. That's why we so long for a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I don't know what to say. Well, the gift of tongues. Pray. Pray in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. It says there that, let me read you from Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray or as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings, too deep for words. He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. See, even the Holy Spirit wants to help us when we don't know what to pray. Lord, I've had that. I don't know if you've ever had that. Lord, I do not know what to say. So I'm going to just trust, Lord, that you do and you know my heart. So I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll pray in tongues. I'll just walk and just trust, Lord, that whatever my heart's feeling, you turn into words. God knows. Let me end this morning by looking at our need to hear God. So God's always speaking. The question is, are we hearing what he's saying? We see several verses in Revelation 2. It says, if you have an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Key question I guess you always have is, how can I hear God? How do I know his voice from other voices? There are a number of voices that are filling our heads. There's the voice of the world, the voice of our upbringing, the voice of our culture, the voice of politics. There's the enemy's voice. There's your best friend's voice. There's Oprah's voice. There's so many voices. God, which one is yours? There's even the pastor's voice. Which one is your voice, God? I'm sure of this, though, friends. God does not speak in riddles or puzzles. God does not find amusement by saying, I'm going to give you a snippet of the clue. You solve the puzzle, and then you know what to do. And now you've got to, you know, find this verse there and link it up to that verse there, link to that picture in the Old Testament, which ties in with that picture in Revelation. And you get all that together, guys, move on to level two. God doesn't do that. If you don't know what God is saying, just stop what you're doing and say, God, I do not know what you're saying. Can you make it clearer? Can you make it simpler? And God speaks in such beautiful details. Have you seen in Scripture when God tells Noah to build the ark? Have you seen the details involved there? When they're asked to build the tabernacle, have you read the details involved in building the tabernacle? When they had to build the temple, have you seen the details? God didn't just say, make a temple for me and make it look beautiful. He said, no. Here are the details. The very garments the high priest would wear, here are the details. Here's how you're going to sacrifice. Here's what you're going to do. God is a God of details. In the New Testament, Jesus, here's where you cast your nets. That's the chariot you've got to follow. Go there in that place at that minute. Follow that chariot and you're going to do something great. To Peter, you're going to go to this house and meet that person. It's details. God is all about the details. God still speaks in details. So, some of the ways that we can hear God. Firstly, through his word. Through his word. Have you ever wondered why we have the Bible? It's not meant to control the way we live. It's not our philosophical book. It's not the book that keeps us in order or tells us how to live good, principled, moral lives. It's God's voice. It's a living and active word that God uses to speak to you and me. If you are not reading the Bible, the chance of you hearing God's voice is very, very small. It can happen, but I think God says, because you've got access to the Bible, why don't you read it and hear my voice in it? Even in the tough books, his voice is there. But he's saying, read it, listen to it, and you'll see how certain verses pop up out of nowhere, stuff you've read before. I remember key moments in my life when we were asked to come into this eldership team. I was hesitant, but it's a big life-changing moment. And I asked God some questions in private. I said, Lord, I do not know what to do here. And one Thursday night, we were at the Uptown site, and the preacher was preaching on the book of Elijah, and God answered those questions one by one by one, so like a sore thumb, and there were the answers from God's word. I remember when we've gone through tough times and like, Lord, what is our call? What is our purpose? And God said, well, remember when I told Israel, do not go back to Egypt, to Pharaoh? That's a word for you, Greg. And often I'm like, Greg, don't go back to Pharaoh. Don't go back to Pharaoh. Although there's figs there and shade, stay in the wilderness rather than go back to Pharaoh. God's word helped me through those moments. God speaks to us through his word. Not through the verse of the day, but through reading his word. Friends, read his word. Read through the Gospels. It's his voice. Read it with expectation. Read it with a pursuit. Say, Lord, I want to hear you speak. I've got some questions. I'm going to read through the book of Romans. I'm going to read through 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. God speaks to us through prayer. Again, there's this intimacy we have with him that the Spirit will speak to us. Have you ever had those nudgings from the Spirit? Just nudges you? One of my favorite moments was asking God whether I was a suitable man to marry Nicole. I remember it clearly in my room. And God says to me, Greg, if you follow after me, you're good enough. Go tell her how you feel. And my heart leapt, and then I got nervous. But it was a defining moment in my life, because I'd been praying for some months about this thing. It's not the formula, but that's what I was doing. But it's a clear nudge from God saying, you go do it. Go, my boy. You got this. And I got it. Woo! God speaks to us through the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. Prophecies, interpretation, knowledge, wisdom. The gifts are there to build the church up. God uses that to speak to us. God can even speak to us through dreams and visions. We see it in many times in Scripture. Can I give you a warning, though? Not every dream comes from God. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Was that dream with the pterodactyl and the mermaids and the Oreo McFlurry all mixed together? And now you're trying to define from Revelation what that means? That was not from God. That was your sugar high that you went to bed with. Thank you, Lord, that you're not telling me something about pterodactyls. But God can speak in dreams where you wake up and you're like, that hit me. That was profound. And then some beautiful ways through community. God speaks to us through the wisdom of others around us. Someone can come to you and say, I just feel God is saying, will you listen? God wants you to know, will you listen? So let me end this morning. Is the key is, how do we respond in this? God will speak. Pursue his voice. Seek his voice. How do we sort out these roots in our lives? Start praying. Don't make excuses not to pray. Start speaking to him. Find a moment in the day. It doesn't have to be, it does help to have routine, but find a freedom just to speak to God. Just speak. Start there. Lord, can I give us homework again this week? Why not this week, every day? Think about the Lord's Prayer and just pray through some of those pointers and see how you get. So just begin, even tonight, as you just sitting before bed maybe, our Father in heaven, thank you, Father. Do I feel like a son? Do I feel like a daughter? Start praying through that. Holy is your name. Hallowed be your name. Lord, you're great. Thanks for today. Today was good. Lord, may your kingdom come. Oh, tomorrow's a big business meeting. Lord, I don't want to be nervous about that. May your kingdom come. Can your will be done? Stuff's happening with family. Your will be done there, Lord. He knows already. Just start praying that. Monday, do it again. Tuesday, do it again. Wednesday, do it again. Let's try that. Let's try and build this heart of praying. Jesus says, this is how you ought to do it. And then friends, respond. When you start to hear God back, respond. We are called to be a living, active church in doing the things God's called us to. The only way we move in any way of life is we hear him and we react. Hear him and react. If we stop hearing from God, we're in a very dangerous place, because we're living on our own revelation. That's it.